Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time. Father, we just thank you for your wisdom flowing in Jesus' name. Lord, that you want to so bless your people abundantly and above and beyond. Lord, that you desire above all that we prosper and be in health, even as our soul prospers. So we just praise you and thank you, Lord, for the wisdom of God flowing. God, ideas, inventions, Lord, just tremendous energy in the Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to talk about New Testament tithing. And you think, man, don't you get enough of that just talking about during offering time? Well, this is an opportunity to just really get into some detail about it. There's a general belief that for some reason tithing died with the Old Testament, and what I'm going to show you, that's not really true, that there are three references in the New Testament about it, and we'll talk about those. But I'm going to start talking about the Old Testament, because this is another thing I hear a lot of people say is, well, that's Old Testament, that doesn't really apply to us. And that's not really true either. Hate to burst your bubble, but there's a lot of things in the Old Testament that do apply to you. And so I want to just talk about what are the sections of the Old Testament. Well, we start out with the beginnings in the pre-law section, which goes from Genesis up to about Exodus chapter 19. Exodus 20 is when the law gets handed down, and that's when the whole law thing starts in play. So everything before that, there was really what I would call a no bars hold, no rules thing, where people would do all kinds of wild stuff. But God had people in the earth that would minister and do things and walk in his ways. And so it was really a time that we're going to talk about tonight some. And then you start with the law, and that goes through the book of Deuteronomy. Watch out about not saying, well, I don't have to do anything with the law, because Jesus quoted from the law, quoted from Deuteronomy more than any other book in the Bible. And so you got to kind of take that into consideration and say, all right, why is he pulling that into the New Testament this way? And then the third section, I don't like this name, it's called historical books, but it goes through, and really to me, it's people that are really either on fire for God or they just can't stand him. And when they can't stand him, everything breaks loose. And so eventually God just tries to woo them back and woo them back. And the moment they turn, his love just overwhelms them. It's really a lot of love stories in history with a lot of mayhem in the middle of it. But it's great reading to get into, and there's a lot of things we can learn from that. The other area is the book of wisdom. Anybody here could use some wisdom? Man, I read the book of Proverbs every day, and it keeps me out of trouble a lot. So it's you should be glad of that I'm reading that every day. So there's a lot of good things in there, things that you do, and just when I think I get tired of it, then there's something else that comes up that I hadn't seen before. So it's a great series of books on the book of wisdom. And then you get into prophets and prophecies, and starting in the book of Isaiah and going all the way to the book of Malachi, and there's prophecies in there that are fulfilled. There's pictures in there of Jesus that are more detailed than the New Testament. Amen. And so there are things in there about end times that are very detailed. There are things in there about Jesus' second coming that's very detailed. And so those are all in there to talk about those prophetic things. Not only to say, yeah, this is really accurate because all these things happen, that's one thing, but there's still more to come. So we're not done yet. So when you look at the Old Testament, you have to really watch out and you say, well, that's not for us. There's a lot of things in there for us. And so I want to just kind of give you a couple of rules here when we're looking at Old Testament scriptures and coming into the New Testament. There are Old Testament scriptures that come into the New Testament, but there's something that changes with them. So one example here is that if you, in the law, they had animal sacrifices for sin offerings. They call them sin offerings. And so they did animal sacrifices. See, you should be thankful we don't do that today. This place would look very different if we did that today. But Jesus, in Hebrews chapter 7, he became our sin offering, and he did away with that. Amen? I'm so glad he did away with that, aren't you? Otherwise, yeah, we'd be doing something different today. So there are things in there that it mentions it, but then there's something that says, well, that he took care of that.
That's right.
There's another rule about something that's in the Old Testament mentioned in the New Testament and just brings it in and doesn't change it at all. And we're going to get into that tonight, because that is, then becomes a New Testament principle, scripture principle, especially when there are a couple other examples to go along with it and match up with it. Now you got a theme going throughout the Bible. And so we're going to talk about that tonight and get into that. All right, so the word tithe is a Greek word that wasn't translated, but it really just means tenth. That's all it means. And so sometimes you see some Bibles that translate tenth, and sometimes you see the word tithe, but it's the same word. And so it's talking about a tenth. And so it really applies here in, like, when you go back and look in Old Testament times, and even when Jesus was on the earth, people would have cattle or they would have whatever. And so they would basically line them up. And so it was the first cow that was taken, that was coming through the stall. And so it was the first fruits of what they harvested. It was first of this. It had to be first, see? And so the reason for this is God desires that He be first in our hearts. No matter whether we're tithing, whatever we're doing, our hearts are just totally sold up on Him. And so He wants us to really be keyed into Him, that He is first in our life and everything that we do. And so that's a picture of being first in the tithe. It's an attitude of the heart. See, it's one thing, you know, when we're tithing, we're giving money and we're doing things like that, but you don't want to let your heart just act like you just paid a bill. Okay? Amen? There's a difference. There should be a difference. And so we have to watch our heart, because it's our heart that really makes this effective. The money just is a symbol. It comes after that. Okay? Because it follows your heart. And so when your heart is, when God is our priority in our life, then our finances are good. Amen? Because He takes care of us, because our heart is just totally on Him. And now we're at a position where we can do things for Him that we wouldn't normally do, but that's what He wants to use us to do that and impact people with. And so whether you're tithing or whether you're giving, it's about the heart. So tithing causes the remaining of our finances to be blessed and subject to increase. Now, normally, if I talk to somebody that doesn't tithe, typically they're having financial problems. Now, I was there. I know. I've been there, done that. And you never can get ahead. About the time I get money in my hand, you know, something would break down, and then it would be gone. And then, plus, it would cost me more, and I'd have to borrow the money to do it. And, you know, you do this for a while, and you just keep digging a bigger, bigger hole. Am I talking to anybody here? You know, and so what's happening is, it's not God is trying to get you. It's the fact that you got the devil just having an open game with you, because you're not tithing, your heart's not into the Lord, you're holding back, and so God can't do anything to help you. Well, that's popular. But He wants to. And so He wants us to let loose and let the money flow, let the things flow, and so that He can actually get involved in your life. Now you've got a whole different set of deals going on with you with that. So you want to get to the point to where you want the devourer out of your life. Amen? And one of the ways you do that is through tithing to the Lord. Now, we're going to start in Hebrews 5 and go to verse 5. Now, Hebrews, if you don't know, is in the New Testament, so just kind of mention that. So also Christ did not glorify Himself to become a high priest, for it was He who said to Him, "You are My Son, today I have begotten you," as He also says in another place, "You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." Now, a high priest is an administrator and an overseer of the covenant in place. In the Old Testament, under the law, they had high priests, and those people were the officials that knew how the law applied, knew what they should do in every situation. They were experts on the law, And they also had the authority to do things in the name of the law. Now, Jesus is the high priest of the new covenant. He is the administrator. He is the overseer. He is the one who knows how it works. He is the one that will enforce it if need be. And so he is that high priest that's in the new covenant. So we don't have to go anywhere else. He's the one. Amen? And so that means that he knows how these things work. Now, the Bible mentions Melchizedek, and we're going to get a little bit into him, but he's mentioned in Genesis 14 once, and then he's mentioned in Psalm 110 once in a prophetic scripture about the Lord. But then he's not ever mentioned again until the book of Hebrews, and he's mentioned in chapter 5, 6, and 7. So there's three chapters that are devoted to him. Kind of interesting. There's a lot of books written about who this guy was or, you know, like that. But he is somebody that's Jesus is in the order of. And so the lineage of Jesus goes back to him. Now, what I look at it like is he was either the Lord himself or he was the angel of the Lord that looked exactly like him in the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament. Okay? So we won't get caught up on who he was, but the fact is, Jesus' priesthood comes from him. And so that's where his authority comes from. That's where his whole likeness and image comes from. So what we're going to review tonight is a scriptural tithing example, because this is tied into tithing with Melchizedek and Abraham. That happened in the beginnings of the pre-law or the Old Testament, and it's quoted verbatim in the New Testament. Now, can anybody remember the rule if something's quoted verbatim in the New Testament and not changed? Anybody remember? Huh?
It applies.
It applies. Okay. All right. So. It pays to listen. It applies. So, bringing it into the New Testament, it's quoted in the New Testament, it's an Old Testament scripture, and it's not changed. It applies to the New Testament. Okay, so that's what we're going to get into here. All right, so Hebrews 7 and verse 1, "For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings, blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being translated King of Righteousness, and then also King of Salem, meaning King of Peace, without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, remains a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, to whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils. And indeed, those who are that are sons of Levi who receive the priesthood have a commandment to receive tithes from the people their brethren, though they have come from the loins of Abraham. But he whose genealogy is not derived from them received tithes from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises. Now beyond all contradiction, the lesser is blessed by the better. Here mortal men receive tithes, but there he receives them of whom it is, he witnessed that he lives." Now, here he's talking about the Old Covenant and he's talking about the New Covenant. And he's talking about the priesthood at that time, that in the Old Covenant, it was the priesthood of Aaron under the Old Covenant that basically would receive the tithes and you would bring it to a man who would die. Basically, they would eventually die. And so you'd bring it to a man. But he says, here, you're bringing it to one who lives. Who's the one who lives? Yeah, you're bringing it directly to Jesus. Big difference. You're bringing it directly to him. See, it's one of the things that we got to get in our headset, that when we're tithing, we are tithing directly to him. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the God of all the heavens. I mean, we're tithing directly to him. See, he is Lord of the tithe. And so he receives the tithes from you. Amen. Now, that's just great because he's the one that can multiply. Did he not do that? Did he not multiply loaves and fishes? Did he not turn the water into wine? He did all these things. And so he is definitely the one that can multiply what you're sowing into the kingdom of God. And so when you're putting it directly in his hand, you're not going through an intermediary. You're just bringing it to him. So it's really essential that we start turning our tithing into a worshiping experience. It's because it's not just money. In fact, you're worshiping him with your finances that he provided for you. Amen? And so as we do that, I mean, what a great opportunity to worship and just thank him for that. So we present our tithes directly to him, the one who blesses and multiplies. And we show him our appreciation for what he has done for us. There's in the Old Testament law, there's a scripture, in fact, it's in Deuteronomy 26. And it talks about the fact that you would come into the temple and you would present your tithes and offerings. And then you would sit down in the temple and then you would just have some food left over and things like that that you would eat. And then you would just begin to praise the Lord for all the blessings that he has bestowed on you. You know, that's something that we need to really just pick up and just begin to do that in our worship of God, is just begin to thank him for all the blessings he's bestowed on us. How many blessings have you been blessed with? Wow, I mean, it's just amazing. When you get going, you'll just come. And so it's a time when you're tithing, you know, don't just put the check in or don't just hit the credit card or whatever it is you do online or whatever. Don't just do that and then not think about it, because, boy, what a great opportunity to come into the throne room of grace and just begin to worship the Lord and thank him for the blessings that he's blessed you with. Thank him for your job. Thank him for your business. Thank him for all the things, all the associations that you have. Thank him for your family. Thank you. I mean, just go on and just begin to thank him for all the things he's done. Amen? I mean, it is a life-changing experience to really turn that into a worship ceremony. So show him appreciation for what he has done. And then when out of that, the remainder is blessed. Amen? It's not that you lost 10%. It's the fact that you now have gained a lot, because now all of a sudden you're going to start seeing things happen that are going to be good. Now, in that same chapter in Hebrews 7, verse 15, it says, "And is yet far more evident if in the likeness of Melchizedek there rises another priest who has come, not according to the law of fleshly commandment, but according to the power of an endless life. For he testified, you are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." Jesus is the one who lives forever. Isn't it amazing? He is never going away. He is never changing. He is going to be the same no matter what. And he always has good days. And so when you come into the throne of grace, there he is. He's the one that ever lives. He's the one that ever intercedes for you. He's the one that ever loves you unconditionally. And so, you know, when we're having that bad day or we're just, nothing's adding up in our checkbook or anything else like that, we come to him and he'll take care of it. He will work it out. Amen? Why? Because we're tithers. We belong there. We belong into the throne room. And so we want to worship him on there. Now we're going to go back to Genesis 14. And we're going to pick up the example that was just referenced in the book of Hebrews and then talk about this. Now, I'm going to pick up in verse 9 of Genesis 14. And there's a lot of names here I'm not going to mention because I don't want to just stumble all over the names here. So I'm going to just pick it up at the end of verse 9 where it says 4 kings against 5. So there's a battle going on. There's 4 kings that are going to battle against 5 kings. And it says, "So now the valley of Siddim was full of asphalt pits, and the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled. Some fell there, and the remainder fled to the mountains." Now Sodom and Gomorrah was on the group that lost. They were the 4 kings that lost. So they're fleeing. Then they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. Then one who had escaped came and told Abram the Hebrew, for he dwelt by the terebinth tree of Mamre the Amorite, brother of Eshcol, brother of Aner, and their allies of Abram. Now when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his 318 trained servants who were born in his own house and went in pursuit as far as Dan. He divided his forces against them by night, and he and his servants attacked them and pursued them as far as Hobah, which is north of Damascus. So he brought back all the goods and also brought his brother Lot and his goods, as well as the women and the people. The king of Sodom went out to meet him at the valley of Sheba, which is the king's valley, and his return after the defeat of Chedorlaomer and the kings who were with him. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out the bread and the wine. He was the priest of the God Most High, and he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand." And he gave him tithe of all. Now, there's one thing to note here is when that Melchizedek represented the Lord Jesus in this scripture. And so we've got a situation here where you're in the presence of the king. It's a picture of us being in the presence of the king. Amen. And so we always got to remember, you know, the king is right here. He's here right now. And so he's here. So we're tithing direct to the king. Now, Abraham was a man of faith. Now, according to Romans 4:3, he believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. That's a key scripture of his life. So he wasn't just kind of thinking God would do something. He according to Romans 4:21, he was fully convinced that God had promised he could perform. So he was fully convinced. When he went into that battle, he was fully convinced that he was going to come out alive. I don't know about you, but if I had 300 people, I wouldn't be taking on five armies. Not in the natural. So he had to go in there fully convinced that somehow he was going to come out of this thing victorious. Now, in addition to that, he's the father of those who believe. So that means that he is somebody that scriptures say that we need to look at in terms of how do you live by faith. That we need to take the examples that he lays out, the good examples, not all the bad examples. But he is the father of faith, and so we have to look at his life and try to understand that along with Jesus' life and understand that and take all that material and learn from that as to how do you do that? How do you live by faith and do what he did? So he believed that God would protect him and deliver his enemies into his hands. See, we should tithe in faith. We need to be believing God for something. If you're just tithing, it's good, it's okay. But what are you believing God for? There's all kinds of promises. There's all kinds of things. And so, what do you want him to do? See, if you're going and not being specific, then, I don't know how that's working for you, but usually you have to put forth something that you're really after. Are you after a job? Are you after business? Are you after promotion? What are you after? And so there's a great time when you're in there and you're worshiping him and just begin to then put your petitions forward to him and just ask him about it. See, you always want to come into the presence of the king and eventually have a request, but you don't always have to. But I mean, it's just a good thing to do. It's just say, your scripture says here that you would cause me to ride upon the high places of the earth, and therefore here, you know, or whatever the scripture it is. That we always need to have scriptures in mind to even approach the king with. Why? Because he recognizes his word. He is the administrator of the new covenant. And so when he hears you talk new covenant to him, man, you're right in line with the throne of God. Amen? And so we always got to come when we tithe, don't just drop money in the bucket. Put forward a request. Lord, I desire this much income, or I desire to be able to bless these people this much. Whatever direction that goes in, and he will lead and guide you in your request. He will help you now that you've put forth some kind of request. So we have to really look at that from the standpoint of always putting forth a request. Now, Melchizedek brought out the bread and wine, which represented the body and blood of Jesus. And there are scriptures in the New Testament that says that God preached to Abraham the gospel, so he knew about the cross. He knew about the things that were going to take place, even though it was thousands of years later. And so when he brought out the bread and the wine, this is communion. It's good to, when you're giving and when you're doing your tithes, to also enter into communion. Amen? I mean, it's a seal of the covenant. It's basically, now you're sealing it in something that heaven really prizes. And it helps seal it in your heart. See, and then you just begin to speak over your finances. You begin to speak the blessings of the Lord over your household, over all your affairs. You just begin to speak His word over what you're doing. Amen. And that's where multiplication begins to happen, is that you begin to take His word and apply it to your life. Now, do you think He can agree with that? Yeah, oh yeah, He's going to agree with that big time. Amen? Especially when you're using the scriptures with Him. And so He's going to jump right on board with that and really help you to get there. So Abraham was celebrating being delivered from an impossible situation. 322 people against five armies. It's just amazing to me that something like that you go into a battle like that, and they snuck up on him at night, but I don't think that really mattered because there were a lot more of them than there were of Abraham. And I don't care how trained your people were, that was a God thing. Yeah. Amen. And God just delivered him. But it was amazing here is that He not only delivered him out of this, but He came back with all the spoils. Now, I don't know if you know, these armies back then, they didn't have planes to fly stuff back and forth, so they carried all their stuff with them. So when they would overtake a territory, all the stuff that they plundered, and that's the word, they plundered, all the stuff that they took, they would carry with them to the next battle. And so, don't know how long they were out there in these battles, but they had stripped these communities that it talked about, and so they had all the stuff that they had, plus any other things that they accumulated along the way. That's what the armies back then did. And so here comes Abraham and his 300 people, and I mean, they got so much stuff. I mean, there's a lot of stuff here. Can you imagine how much stuff a five armies could accumulate, plus their own personal possessions? And they took them and brought them back. Now, the key here is that Melchizedek, that the devourer was rebuked for his sake. See, it's not always just financial. It could be in other areas. See, I mean, you could have somebody opposing you, and you're just like, why do they do that, you know? But the Lord can take care of that. Doesn't mean He doesn't make them disappear. But He can handle that. So He can rebuke the devourer. If the devil's using people, God can take care of him. So it's something we always have to keep in mind here is that this was a picture of Him rebuking the devourer for Abraham's sake. And so brought him out as a victor. So Melchizedek blessed Abraham, and Abraham increased more and more. How much did he increase? Well, Genesis 24 tells us that now Abraham was old and well advanced in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And NIV says, in every way. Pastor Mark's been teaching out of Psalm 23. Everybody like that? Yeah. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I haven't got past that first scripture because I like that particular one. I shall not want or lack. That's a good thing to confess every day, is I shall not lack or want of anything. And so this is part of that he increased him more and more. Now, how would you like to be in a place where you just were blessed in every area of your life? I mean, how many areas are there? There's a lot. But I mean, you just look back and you just thank the Lord and just praise Him because everything's good. You got more than enough coming everywhere. Amen. Families get along. Everybody's getting along. Yeah. All these things are working right. Your businesses are working right. Your job's working right. Everything's just working right. See, it's a blessing of the Lord. Amen. And so Abraham was at that point where he was blessed in every way. There was no other ways he could be blessed. That's a good place to be. It goes on in Genesis 24, verse 35. The Lord, this was his servant speaking, the Lord has blessed my master greatly, and he has become great. And he has given him flocks and herds, silver and gold, male and female servants, and camels and donkeys. And Sarah, my master's wife, bore a son to my master, and the Lord, when she was old. And so he was greatly blessed in every area of his life. And he was a tither. He was a giver. He was God's person. Now, one of the things he did was he refused to compromise with the ungodly and wanted the Lord to get all the credit for making him rich. And we're going to read that in Genesis 14, verse 21. Now, the king of Sodom said to Abram, give me the persons and take the goods for myself. But Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have raised my hand to the Lord God Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will take nothing from a thread to a sandal strap, and I will not take anything that is yours, lest you should say, I've made Abram rich. And so at that point, he gave away all the stuff that he had, and he just gave it to the king of Sodom because he didn't want any part of it. But he let everybody else have what it is that they needed. And so he just did not want anybody to say that they contributed to him being wealthy. He kept pointing to God. See, he was God's man. And so he would talk about God all the time. And so he just constantly, if you have a good job, if you have a good business, if you have all these things going on, just remember it's the Lord that's propping you up. Amen. He's causing things to happen in your behalf. And so I always step back and just begin to see, you know, am I giving him sufficient credit? Now, one of the ways that we're tied into Abraham is we happen to be Abraham's seed. Now, in Galatians 3:29 says, if you are Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So we're part of his lineage, and so we have a direct connection to him. Abraham tithed, and therefore we should tithe also. We should give also. We should basically do things that he did. Hebrews 6:12 says that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So we're to imitate those things. We're to see those and imitate what he did and learn from that and learn how to walk in faith like he walked in faith and learn how to be sold out to God like he was sold out to God and learn how to trust him totally in everything that we do. So it's an ongoing learning that we do when we're reading the scriptures that we're looking at this and holding that up and saying, okay, so Lord, how do I do that? How do I do that in this situation? So that's when the wisdom of God will help you get there. Now, we're going to look quickly at Jesus and the tithe. Jesus had a couple of things to say about tithing. And he's in Matthew 23, verse 23, says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Luke 11:42 says, but woe to you Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass by justice and love and love of God. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. So in this scripture, Jesus specified that we should tithe in faith and that we should practice justice, mercy, and the love of God. Just treating people justly, just treating people right is what he's talking about. But we should not leave the other stuff undone. What a great place this would have been for him to say, but you know that tithing thing is not real. But he didn't. He just kept it there. And so it's the same thing in the book of Hebrews. It would have been a great place to say, yeah, but this tithing thing, was phased out with the Old Testament, but they didn't. It just kept it there and brought that example into the New Testament. So it all lines up. Now there's blessings of the tither, and one is you can walk under an open window of heaven, the floodgates of heaven. And you know, it's like you're looking for possible opportunities for increase every day. Why? Because they come. I mean, God will show things to you and put things in front of you that you may want to talk, you may want to engage in. It says that you get more blessings than you have room enough to contain them all. I haven't gotten there yet, but we're going there. Amen. So it's something that we always need to do, is where we have so much that we have to start getting rid of things to keep taking in more. He says he gives us God ideas, witty inventions, and abilities. Boy, what we could do with one God idea. Amen. Just turn everything around. And so he gives those to you freely. The devourer is rebuked for your sake. Your vines do not cast their fruit before its time, meaning you don't have a premature harvest, that something just looks like it's going to come and come and come, and then all of a sudden just disappears. And it says that all the nations will see that you're blessed of the Lord and live in a delightful land. Boy, can you imagine being blessed so much that all the nations take note of it? That's what his word, that's what he wants. And so that is the blessing of a tither. Now, just a quick testimony for me, and then I'll come to a close here. When I started out, I mean, I knew nothing of tithing. I was raised Catholic, and tithing was never a subject we ever even broached or talked about. So when I first heard it, I thought it was a phony thing. And so somebody challenged me, you know, well, go look in the Bible and see what it says for yourself, and then see if it's in there. And if it's in there, then you got to pay attention to it. Okay, so I could understand that. So I dug and dug and dug, and I started finding tithing scriptures, and I was a little disappointed at first. I thought, man, I wish this would just not be here. But I was at that point where everything I did financially, it got worse. And so I don't know how to explain it other than it was just constant getting worse. And so just when I thought it couldn't get worse, it got worse. And so one day I thought, well, if I'm going to go broke, I guess I'm going to do a tithing here, but I don't even know how this is going to happen, because I can add my checkbook and do all these calculations, and it just doesn't work. And so I just said, Lord, with every faith I had at the time, I just said, Lord, I'm either going under or something here, because I'm going to tithe and I'm going to see what happens here, and I don't know what the next step is. So I did. I watched the check go all the way down the aisle when they were collecting it. I was like, should I get that back? You know, I wish I could have said I was a man of great faith, but it wasn't. I was scared. And so all I know is I sat down to pay my bills, and all of a sudden what didn't work, all of a sudden worked. The math worked. And I thought it was wrong at first. I thought, well, let me recalc, redo it again, see what I must have missed something. But all of a sudden it started, and that was the beginning of just starting there and going, okay, something just happened. I don't know what just happened, but something just happened in my math that changed the equation. And then from there, you know, increase started coming and things. And over time, you know, you start getting feeling like I'm out of the hole now. But he just continues to bless and continues to bless and continues to open up opportunities. And so God is very faithful to the tither. Amen. And I know, I understand it's hard if you don't do it. It's scary. How can I ever do that? But I have never met a person who took the challenge and really did it that didn't have the same thing go on. Like, how in the world did that just work? And all of a sudden, things just started happening. Why? Because the Lord of the tithe is in your life now. And he's taking care of you, and he's rebuking the devourer and causing increase to come to you. Father, we thank you, Lord. You just continue to bless us more and more each and every day. And we thank you, Father, for those tithers, Lord, the faithful, that you just increase them. Lord, you cause ideas, you cause inventions, you cause things to happen on their behalf, Lord. And we thank you for that. And Lord, for those that are just sitting there wondering, how can I do this? I ask you, Lord, to give them the peace of God, Father, to just cause them to be able to see, yeah, this is an open door of increase. And we thank you for it, and we just praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.